Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
The grind is back. Episode 3. We got it off, the monkey off our back, so to speak, Eric. We're in the winner's column. We had a big bounce back week, and we're going into week 3. I think, feeling good, but we do have to play shit talking Metro. We'll get into the matchup, but how are you, buddy, and how are you feeling about the squad after week 2 here?
Yeah, feeling pretty decent here. We went from last place last week, dead last, to now we're in the playoffs. We're in the sixth seed. So we won by 30 points last week, so that was nice.
Yeah.
And we're projected right now currently to win 63% to 37% against the number one team in the league. So,
yep.
Looking forward to it. We'll get into our lineup and our decisions this week and all that, but yeah, looking forward to it.
Sounds good, buddy. Let's go ahead and just, you know, rip the band-aid, as they speak. We'll go ahead and get into it. That's the matchup. Let's take a look at our team first, and we'll, you know, first things first, as they say. All right, so as you see here, we do have James Cook already in our lineup, which was a good thing, and always, and so far, has been a good thing this year. 21.7 from James Cook, which was slightly more than the projection, but you know, a game that we'll take easily. We have now, go ahead.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, we'll definitely take that.
Yeah. So we have, I don't know if we've talked really about it yet or not, but we've got AJ Brown now 2 weeks in a row with pretty disappointing performances. We have T. Higgins now with Jake Browning. We'll see if Matthew Golden can, you know, pick up his role, so to speak, with Jaden Reed getting hurt, but at the moment, are there any people in the lineup that you want to talk about that kind of stick out, or that we, you know, really shouldn't give strong consideration to that is in our lineup at the moment?
I mean, we always have the tight end conversation, so I'm sure we can talk about that. But honestly, I think our flexes and super flex and all that, I think we're all pretty decent this week. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Anybody else on our team that I would feel confident putting in, like Ray McLeod barely played last week. Rashad Bateman, I'm ready to send to the fucking sun.
Yeah. I'll take
John
the sun.
Johnson
at this point.
Sucks, but yeah. So
yep, I'm with you. You know, it was nice to see Ollie Gordon get in the end zone, but realistically he's not getting enough work to be a true starting consideration. I think it kind of is what it is until we get Rashi Rice back or make him another move, frankly, yeah, for the current cast of characters. Shoddy B is, let me ask you, are you concerned here?
Oh, very. Like, I mean, he's done this every year, it seems like, and then he kind of comes on at some point when Flowers gets injured, but
mm-hmm.
It's just the same thing year after year after year. Like, he's a first-round pick. You would expect him to do something, and he is, like, the definition of Jag, just a guy.
Yeah. Honestly, I was kind of surprised. I wasn't sure what the snap share was, but you see 59 up here last week. He has been kind of, when even out there, kind of invisible, honestly. He just has not done anything with the reps.
You got Devontae Walker catching touchdowns, Tyler Wallace catching touchdowns. Devontae Walker has 3 catches in his career. All 3 are touchdowns.
Absolutely insane. I mean, kind of with the archetype, it's, I guess, could happen, but still impossible. Quarterback position. Is Dak versus the Bears is a lock for me personally, I think, this week. But I don't know if you want to consider either one. Okay.
No. Dak's a top five quarterback play for me this week because the Bears are missing their two top corners and they are getting fucking torched every single week. So, he's a lock.
The Bears are... I think their defense wasn't going to be
over under of the week too is that game. So
yeah, the Bears weren't to me going to be anything special on defense, but they're even worse than I think maybe we thought they might be. They're getting injuries, like you're saying. To me, he's locked in. So is Lamar. I guess then we just have simply the tight end conversation. Chigakonkwo, we got versus the Colts. I believe they're at home. Yes, they are at home. You know, he's getting a decent amount of snaps, but still has not just had any great games, so to speak. Sorry, I meant to give you a look here at Janu's log. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with the two of them going into this week, personally?
And I can go either way on this. It is a small revenge game here for Janu against Patriots.
Yep.
His snap share did go down a little bit last week, but he's still getting the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say, the thing about him, right, 56% of snaps. So always, I mean, you know, a little more than every other play, but that's not that great.
He's splitting with two other tight ends, yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of gross, but then you look at, I talked about this last week, that the design plays, it's like for someone that's out there only half the game. Now, it didn't amount to much, but they designed four catches. He caught all of his targets. Yeah, I'm not completely out of the situation where I don't like it for Janu, but I also there's way worse options at tight end, I think, and you could have.
Yeah, and Chig's snap percentages have been nice: 88% the first week, 76% last week. So that's definitely what you want to see in your tight end. Just based off of that, I think I would lean Chig in a home game. Just off of his snap percentages, I know he's going to be out there for at least 80% of the snaps, pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Whereas Janu, he's still splitting. You know, the numbers haven't been like great, like 15 yards and 27 yards. Like, you know, CeeDee Lamb catches that in one fucking ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think here, too, the other thing to keep in mind for me, why I definitely, this week at least, I'm kind of with you right now in a vacuum standpoint. If you told me nothing about the matchups and the games or whatever, I'm probably going to lean Chig right now, just opportunity, right? Meaning opportunity to be on the field. The thing about this game especially, though, I mean, until further notice, until something happens different this week, the Colts haven't punted the football, which means that the Titans, again, should be behind and be trying to go into catch-up mode. I kind of believe that someone that's been out there and as often as him, he's got 10 targets, which is actually a pretty healthy number for tight ends at the moment. Puts him in like the top 15 range. So to me, in a team that's always trailing, there's just bound to be almost, it's like one of those things where I don't want to take him out of the lineup, knowing that there's going to be one of these random weeks. It's going to be hard to pencil probably, but one of these random weeks where he's have 6-7 targets and he actually goes for 60-70 in a tug. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
One thing I will bring up, I think it's a very big long shot, but maybe you're interested.
Okay.
And that is on waivers right now is Adam Trautman, who's going to be starting for the Broncos tomorrow.
Listen, it's not that much of a long shot. You talk about the fish, the trout. I mean, I've been a Adam Trautman stan, unfortunately. I have to put that out there for forever. So as far as a long shot, though, I mean, let's talk this.
Really who are you dropping?
Who
will we drop? Oh, that's a good question too. So if we were to drop somebody, I think I would drop it's hard to pick somebody to drop. I would say maybe Dotson.
hear me out on this one. I think it's a little playing with fire, but outside of a, you know, season ender to Lamar or something serious to him, like I think we can go back and get Cooper Rush because he's going to hit the waiver wire, right? So right. I think we could go back and get him. I don't know that it's worth it, but I'm saying if we wanted to try this, I think he'd probably be the one to
cut. That's a good point. And I just wanted to bring up Trautman just in case, like, you didn't feel good on Chig or Janu. But I think I would personally still go Chig.
I think I'm with you. I would go Chig. I'm not opposed to it at all, though. I think that at the moment we don't have to get cute, but I think, like, you know, that's something to keep in mind if on our bench right now. Any quarterback.
And that's probably just a 1 week thing. Like Ingram right. will be back next week, but
yep,
yeah, that was just something especially
if he play. I would say this too. Moving forward, let's say he plays well. This is great telling everyone in our league this, but if he played well moving forward, Evan Ingram is about as hurt and injury prone as they get. So you know, never someone.
He's been a massive disappointment for me this year. I was all in on that guy, and it just has not worked out.
Yeah, I will. Listen, I'm a year ahead of you, buddy. I was all over it. Pause. But last year, and it unfortunately didn't work out as well as I wanted to. Sorry about that. I clicked the wrong button there. Anyway, when looking at this, I think we're pretty set here. We roll with Chiggy, and we leave the rest of the roster intact. I think, man.
Yeah, I think this is what we do. We didn't make any roster moves this week. There wasn't really anybody on waivers.
Yep.
We're just kind of, I think as long as we can just keep getting by, you know, get to stay at like 500 record until Rashee Rice comes back, and then that, I think that's when our roster decisions get a little more tougher, but then we'll have buys too. So
exactly.
I think once the buys start, we'll have definitely more conversations on who to start. And it might be having to start a guy that, like, oh, is this guy going to at least get us 6 points? You know,
yep.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think I talked about this a little bit on Money Moves this week, where there's not been a ton of attrition. And I think to the waiver wire into our transactions there, like, without more injuries that, you know, bodies piling up, so to speak, there's probably not going to be a ton without those type of things happening. There's normally not a lot to do on the wire. So listen, we're happy if it's our team that stays healthy, but we're always looking to make moves into other people on the waiver wire. Let's talk about the matchup now.
One more thing before we get into the matchup, though, we didn't really talk about him. Is are you worried about Matthew Golden at all, or are you feeling okay about him, or excited to see him without a Jaden Reed in the lineup?
Well, I'd say this, buddy. I'm at the point where, am I worried? Absolutely. I'm not going to say I'm terrified, but I'm definitely excited to see what happens without Reed, because I feel like it can't be much worse. Biggest thing is I'm, to me personally right now, for a guy that has first round draft capital and for as little as they have in the receiving room, you heard Josh Jacobs, Vault, literally was loud about it. Said it out loud for everyone to hear. Like, we don't have a number one. We need a number one. They go out and draft, what is that guy? And it just feels like he's to the point we talked about with Invisible, with Rashad Bateman. Like, there's no volume. There's just not much happening there. I'm hopeful still. I know it's the transition in the NFL, but to me, I think there's a big opportunity in front of him that he's not seizing, which is kind of worrisome to me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. I think, like, if you remember back to, they played the Browns, his rookie debut, that was the Titans when A.J. Brown was there. I remember A.J. Brown's first month, it was a lot like this. It was like one catch, two catches, one catch again, and, you know, people were kind of panicking on him. So
yeah,
not saying Matthew Golden is going to be AJ Brown, but I think it sometimes does take a little bit to get that chemistry and get all that stuff down. And, you know, if you look on X and talk to, like, the Twitter people, like, you know, Matthew Golden's getting open, he's getting separation of just the ball's not coming his way and all that stuff. So
yeah, I will say, like, I'm not writing him off. I'm not terrified. I guess what I'm wanting to see is a little bit of a heartbeat. I want to see a little step in the right direction here in the next couple weeks. So I think at Cleveland this week, it's, you know, especially with our team, easy start. But I would say this. Right now, on teams that I feel like is either not as many starters or I have more depth, I'm happily sitting him while watching and hoping for that same thing to happen, right? But I think with our team at the moment where we're at, I really do like our team, but he's not in consideration to put on the bench at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we have really anybody to put in for them. So
yeah,
we'll just kind of ride it out, and hopefully, you know, Cleveland's the get right place for everybody. So
I mean, typically it is. Let me ask you this: yeah. What would the get right or step in the right direction, let's even say, look like here? Like, the one thing about it was we did see, while literally a goose egg happened, there was more on the field time. That was like the only positive I could take from last week.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to see what would that look like?
I'm hoping for at least 70% snaps would be nice.
If we get the 70% snaps, that would be huge. I agree.
Yeah. He's only gotten 4 targets total this year. I just want to see that number, like, what, maybe give him 4 to 5 targets in a game. I'd like to see that tomorrow against Cleveland. Catch a couple of the balls. Can he get to 50 yards? Like, I'm not asking for fucking nuclear codes here. Like,
yeah,
just do some good stuff for me.
I'm with you there. I guess the other thing, you know, manufacturing touches to him. Hopefully they get more of that going on. I'm not saying that I want him to have all his shit be carries, but right. You know, just finding and a way to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, if you look too at his player card, which you have up, okay, Cleveland, probably a tougher matchup. You know, Denzel and Newsom are solid, but after that, he's got at Dallas, who's been getting fucking torched. Bye week. Cincinnati's defense sucks. Arizona's missing a couple corners right now. They could be back by then. Pittsburgh's okay. So he's got some good games coming up here. Carolina's defense isn't great.
Right.
You know, Philly, I don't know if he's going to get Quinyon Mitchell, but if he gets a Dory Jackson, that should be a good spot. So, like, he has some good spots coming up. So he could be one of those guys post bye week. He is where he really gets going. So
yeah, and he is I guess another thing to keep in mind for other rosters, but with ours too, same thing. The earliest slate of buys, week 5 buy. So we'll have, you know, we have that happening before Rashi, so we'll have some decisions to make. Let's go to the matchup, though.
Out and fucking Golden, so that'll be fun.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, buddy. We're ready for it over here at the grind. You know, that's what the grind is. When we look, I mean, listen, great start from James Cook. One of the things, actually, it's interesting because we have Jacobs as well. I kind of feel like this could be a big Jacobs game. Not that that's crazy anytime, but I don't expect Cleveland to be playing ahead in this game, frankly.
I'm hoping we get a big Jacobs game, man, but they have shut down King Henry. They shut down Chase Brown week 1.
Well, let me tell you what are the two things about those teams that make this one different. I think a lot of times people don't play or consider enough interdivision matchups, especially with the coaching staff as extremely familiar with each other as those two are.
True, yeah.
That's a big thing for me. I think they know what the hell's going on out there. We've always had Taylor's number. King Henry's had plenty of great games against us, but we're familiar with what they're doing. This is a, you know, NFC matchup. To your point, they have done well against the ground. I'm not willing to buy into that as a full season thing yet.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's looking good for the Browns so far, but
right.
I would say, you know, if Jacobs has this touchdown streak going on, if as long as he gets his touchdown, I think I'll be happy.
With you. When we look at our matchups, you know, the AJ Brown game, I'm hoping for better things. It's hard not to think better things are going to come, but I do think this is going to be a slower, methodical pace game in the first of the Rams. It'll be interesting to see if it gets to a shootout or if it stays lower scoring.
Can't be any fucking worse.
Yeah, that's definitely true. hard to believe, but almost true. T. Higgins, I think, is the one this week, though, that I'm really interested to. I don't even know how interested, but I got to be wanting to find out. I think he's the one that hurts the most with the Burrow injury. I think with Browning, they're going to, and they've proven with him in the past, they're going to just get the ball in Chase's hands as quick as possible and make sure that he gets his touches. T. Higgins, I think, becomes a lot more volatile, frankly, with Browning. Where are you at?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if you look back to when Browning had those two guys for his little stint a couple years ago, Chase's numbers actually came down, and Higgins, you know, kind of leveled up with Chase, like they are almost equal. And the way that they've been using Higgins in the offense last year and then, you know, this year without Tyler Boyd, Higgins gets a lot of the short yardage work and the crossers and the, you know, over the middle short yardage type of route. So I think Higgins could be still pretty useful. Like, I'm not like, yes, it sucks at not having Joe Burrow, but like 85% of what T. Higgins was is what I think we get. So yeah. I'm still on board.
I mean, I think 85% of what we of the old T. Higgins is what I expect. I think that wanting to have Burrow get the ball more downfield to Chase has definitely been something that we've seen more of late. I'm curious to see, and I'm of the mindset that I don't think that they're gonna want to get the ball into Chase's hands as much as possible, which we saw last week when Burrow did come out of the game. What I will say about the rest of our lineup is Tootin was in the end zone score, right? Definitely a better day. A better day. And I think the biggest thing, which is going to sound weird about this one, as I can't click on the correct thing apparently.
Look at that snap share.
Yeah, well, it's definitely up. But also, to me, the crazy part was I think we're going to start seeing like of the opportunities that could have happened, the ranges of outcomes, let's say. I think the world existed where a lot was going to go to Allen, and I think we can at least positively take from this game that it wasn't like Allen took a bigger step forward. It was Tootin that did take the step forward.
Yeah. I mean, only 25 snap percentage, still ran the ball 8 times for 42 yards, caught the ball twice for 32 yards and his touchdown. So that is fantastic.
That was one of the things that stayed true, right? I talked about this, how 6% of snaps. I think he had 4 snaps and got the ball 3 times week one. I don't know how many snaps 25% was, but I imagine it wasn't a ton more than 10, frankly, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I can look it up real quick, but go ahead.
My point is really, it's the same thing where for whatever reason, whether it's pass pro, they are not putting him in on a ton of snaps. But when he's on the field, there's a very, very good chance he's getting the ball. Like, extremely high.
Yeah, so his snaps that he actually played on offense were 18 snaps.
I mean, buddy.
And he got the ball on 10 of them.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. You cannot... Sorry, I dropped something. You cannot find a player that's going to get in... over 50% of the time they're on the field getting the ball. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. To me, this is the reason it's big is it's a sign of things to come. They're trying to ramp up his snap percentage. They want to get him on the field more. And the more he shows well with it, I think the more opportunities that will come. So
yeah,
25% snaps is not something you're going to look at and be like, oh, that's great. But it's a big jump from last week. And you see about the work he's getting. I think huge things are coming for Tootin personally.
Yeah, so we got shit talking Metro, our opponent here, on a good week. He lost both JJ McCarthy and Jaden Daniels for this week. So me and you hit the fucking quarterback lottery.
We call that the lotto, right? You know, hit that lotto.
We'll take it. Yeah, we'll
listen.
Take it.
If Tua is your only quarterback in a super flex league, like, it's not your week, you know. And if it is, fuck. Shame on us, right?
Well, we have to win this game. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, yeah, he still has a really good roster and some good players that could just sink us.
Sure.
But, this is like, I don't want to say it's a must win, but it's pretty damn close with not having a McCarthy and a Jaden Daniels in there. Like, we have to capitalize on this win.
Yeah. I did see this news here. Wanted to pull it up for those wondering. When I did a live stream earlier, it hadn't been announced yet, but Igbuka is expected to play. Obviously, we still have to see that he is going to be out there. But
it's... Yes, and then he had JSN get a illness, so I'm expecting him to play, but he just got on questionable today. Yep. But Juwan Jennings is the one who didn't practice at all this week. I don't know if he's going to play, to be honest with you, and he's a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is, right, when, like, no... amount of reps lack thereof, not practicing all week is typically a sign of you'll see people play that way, but it's pretty rare, honestly. More often than not, you want some sort of limited type of a thing. So
yeah,
The one, I guess, saving grace is he can put in B-Rob, while it's not ideal, right? You have B-Rob or Torrey Horton.
He's got B-Rob, Horton. He's got Kendrick Tesla Bourne. On Monday night if you want to throw Tesla in.
Yep. So he's got some options.
Yeah. Bourne would probably be the one-for-one replacement, to be honest. So.
Yeah. Yep. With you. So he has some options that at least helps with that type of a situation. But yeah, I think obviously this is a... I'm kind of curious to see what his lineup looks like in totality. I don't know if he
got Goddard back this week, so Goddard goes in. That helps him out.
For sure.
But his last two flexes, he's got Woody Marks, and he's got to play Jake Tonjes. So yep.
Tonjes getting work while Kittle is, injury plague. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But to your point, it's a good week to shit talk Metro. That's what we're going with here. You know, we're shit talking to Metro. 4-0. We will see if he can keep it up. Anything else about the matchup that you wanted to highlight?
No, I think, like I said, we're projected 63% to his 37%. He's 4-0, the number one team in the league. We do play the league median in here, so that's why that extra game is in here. But I think we need to get those two points this week. We need to go to 4-2.
With you. I do think when you look across the league, we're in a very good position. I think, based on James Cook's start plus what our lineups looks like. But I don't want to just win against the median. You know, we need another win. We need to go to 4-2 to try to help get ourselves in a position to get a bye, I think would be what we're all trying to achieve anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Quickly, we'll go through these matchups here. So we got Gimme Locks, Gritty versus Zach Willard. So Gritty, this week, he's got T-Law, Breece Hall. We got Tyrone Tracy still in there. He's got right now for the moment, De'Ami Brown and BTJ on that Jacksonville offense trying to hit a lotto stack with T-Law. We got Renfro. Renfro in there. Listen, he's...
Yeah, he did good.
He did.
I think they were in catch-up mode, but yeah, he was good.
And until further notice, I think they could end up being in catch-up mode for a lot of these games, you know? Mm-hmm. They've started very slow. We got Hawk, who, I'll tell you, this guy here, Hawk, to me, has been one of the more surprising and disappointing starts of the year, frankly.
That's one that scared. I mean, I'm just going to quickly mention it. But the Vikings in total, like, even when McCarthy comes back, like, he can't even fucking support Justin Jefferson right now. Like, what are we going to do when Hawk's back and Addison comes back next week and Thielen hasn't done a goddamn thing? And, you know, what's going to happen here with our Vikings players? So it'll be interesting.
It's worrisome. My hope is that Addison becomes more of a vertical field stretcher. Now, McCarthy's going to have to honestly make the defenses honor that. But with him doing that over the top, hopefully open things up more. But it very much feels kind of stuck at the moment. We got Cole Kmet, Ladd, Mims, Malik Nabers. Listen, I called Malik Nabers wide receiver one. I'm not sure if everyone's there with me. But his game logs are going to be very similar to these last two. As crazy as that sounds, I want to talk about this from the standpoint of this. Malik is one of these guys. You look at the targets, again, leading the NFL. But if you're telling me a guy's going to get 12 or 13 targets, like you're probably going to have a lot of week ones in there, meaning this offense is gross. It's probably going to have some really low sputtering days. But if you're telling me that we're having a chance where he has a really disappointing game with 71 yards, 5 catches, buddy, you don't realize you're living the high life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'm with you on this. Yeah, he's definitely if I had to redo my tiers right now for like dynasty, I probably have him up there with Chase, Lamb, and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean I will say that the Dallas game is probably more of the high end blow up, right? I mean, you're looking at Bucks 67, 2 touchdowns, all that. But my point is more so that when you have this type of target volume, you're gonna have some days like that, right? And he also made some crazy plays too. It wasn't like this is just because he's getting a bunch of targets. He's making ridiculous plays. So always nice to have him in there. And then Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones start the season's fucking insane. Let's just allow that. Yeah. No punts. No punts is absolutely crazy. So we got on the flip side, Willard, who is actually projected to win by 65%, 35% margin here. We've got Baker, Nick Chubb, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, Marvin Harrison Jr., DK Metcalf. We got Kyle Pitts at tight end. We got King Henry, to your point, we needed to have a get right game. 23 yards was tough. David Montgomery, Hollywood Brown, Pacheco, and Patty Mahomes. So a lot of Chiefs there at the end.
Yeah, he's got a lot of the Monday night and Sunday night guys. So he's going to probably be looking to be down, but then, you know, coming back from behind later on in the week.
I really actually like having a situation like that. It's kind of funny. I think fantasy gamers are very different, though, on having that much of their team play at one time. I'm personally, I love having the, it's not really your ability to control, but my team has the ability to overtake the situation late in the, the game there. Whoops.
Sorry. Z Will, you got a free roster spot and you're carrying a fucking guy retired. Let's go, brother.
Come on, Willard. You know,
I'm a stickler for that shit.
Yep, and you know, well, I also say that he's in a lot of leagues and he's pretty active, but he's asleep on that one for sure.
Yeah.
Willard, if you're hearing us, you know what to do. It's kind of gross out there, but there's still bodies out there you could add. We got
non-retired bodies.
There's Adam Troutman, who we're talking about picking up at minimum, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Fresh scrub. We have Jalen Hurts, Trey Benson, Jordan Mason. We got Tet McMillan, Chris Olave, Josh Downs, Zach Ertz, Dante Thornton. We have Calvin Austin, Keon Coleman, Elik Aminer, and we have Caleb Williams in the flex. Let me ask you, Calvin Austin has been on the field a lot. What's your take on him?
He's their number two wide receiver target. I just, last week they didn't use him like they did in the week one game against the Jets, even though he played more snaps, just didn't catch the ball. So I think he's fine. Like, if he gets me this 4 for 70 stat line, you know, close to every week, I'd love it. But
yeah,
you know, that's probably not gonna happen.
Yeah, I picked him up in a deeper redraft league. I'm kind of curious to see if it's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think when bye weeks come, especially in this format, I mean, he's already starting them and we don't have bye weeks, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Yep. On the flip side, we have Castle Black, who is in the 69% win percentage column. Nice. We have Jordan Love, Kyron, Chuba Hubbard, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, J-Mo, Brock Bowers, Dobbins, Keenan Allen, ETN. And then we also have Javonte Williams. So he's got both Jay Williams and Bo Nix. I will say roster looks very solid top to bottom. I think the Keenan Allen, let's just talk. I mean, I don't know where pick 1908 is a you know, lineup inserting bargain at the moment with the role that he has. Absolutely helping make this team possible. So you love to see it for Castle Black, buddy.
Yeah, that's a really good team, and I can see why he's projected to win 70 to 30, basically.
Yep. So we'll keep going here. We have now Chill Will. Chill Will is playing CM Frank. Chill Will has CJ Stroud, Ashton Jeanty, who's, to me, looked a lot better in week two. I saw some more pop plays that there wasn't a lot of them, but, like, bursty. He was looking bursty. I think, obviously, hasn't done a lot for our teams, but I think there's bigger days ahead. Bucky Irving, we have Smitty, we got Pittman, Jerry Jeudy, Tyler Warren, who's off to a fucking balls-to-the-wall start here. We got Amon-Ra, Troy Franklin had a great day. We got Pearsall, Cooper Kupp, and Cedric Tillman in the super flex spot, so no quarterback two there. We have, for CM Frank, Spencer Rattler. We have CMC, Jalen Warren, Debo Samuel. We got Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Travis Kelce, Justin Jefferson, the man himself, hopefully. And we'll see what happens with Wentz here. Be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. Swift, what's the status on Swift? He is going to play. Okay.
He's expected to play, yep.
I figured he would be, but listen, I've seen enough of the soft vagina of Swift at times, so I was worried a little bit. Quentin Johnson, Mike Evans, and Mark Andrews in the super flex spot. Justin Fields, by the way, out, and Purdy's not looking to play as well again this week, right?
Yeah, no, so, yeah, CM Frank's hurting there a little bit, and then he's got to play the absolute fucking zero. That's Mark Andrews in his lineup.
Dude, Mark Andrews is a – it's been a tough pill here, buddy. First,
but I'm looking at his lineup. There's, like, maybe one, maybe two guys I'd even play over Andrews. I think I would play Otten over Andrews personally. but, yeah, it's pretty bleak out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was really kind of excited to see what Noah Fant could do with Burrow, and then fucking Burrow has to, you know, show us his vagina as well. So that's tough. All right, so CM Frank definitely, I think, has a, you know, better days ahead with the quarterback room that he has as well. We have now Tim H24 with the Cardinals logo, no surprise. Kyler Murray and James Conner to start his roster off here. We've got Cam Scatabo, Jamar Chase, Nico Collins, Tyreek Hill, Trey McBride. I mean, Eric, do you see, you noticing a theme here at all? We've got Romeo Doubs, Brenton Strange, Stephon Diggs, Tucker Kraft, and Jared Goff. Damn. It's crazy. Arizona has a very transient fan base typically. It's funny how, like, he had that Cardinals logo. No one even beat him to fucking any of those Cardinals, you know?
Right, yeah. Nobody wanted some of those guys, but this is a really solid team, too.
It is, yeah. And he's in the he's playing Rippin, who is a solid team as well, but he's currently projected to win. We have Justin Herbert, Devon Achane, the Rhino off to a, you know, really troubling start for Travion Henderson managers, eating into a lot of workload there. We got Puka, Pickens, Wandale coming off of a crazy game. Dalton Kincaid looked really good this week. We have Njoku.
Yeah, 21.6 from your tight end to start the week off is huge.
Absolutely massive. It helps for Achane's, you know, middling performance, I'd say. We got Njoku having to put Jerome Ford in the lineup. Tough, it feels like. But we got Hunter Henry, Darnell Mooney, and Penix. Let me ask you, let's look. Is there a person, a dead body on the bench that you'd rather play in front of Jerome Ford?
I'd maybe take the shot at Braylon Allen.
Yeah, that's all. That's it.
Everyone else, like Calcaterra's worthless now. Disley's out. Addison's still suspended. Burden is on a milk carton.
Buddy, Luther Burden. People were trying. I called this Roma Dunze shot before the draft. And then, of course, they draft Burden and Loveland. And people are all in my ear. Where are they at now? Buddy, he has been kind of a really... I would not have expected him to play less than 20% of snaps, though, honestly. Tough to see there. But, you know, I'm not worried about his long term. But right now, not great seeing him get on the field this little. Final matchup here. We got Hillbillies versus Brad. And this one, at least on paper, is projected to be a lopsided
game. Yeah, how about that? Brad's projected to win 77%, and his opponent's already got 60 points.
Dude, isn't that crazy? So, that was what I was looking at, too. Like, holy crap. But you see, when we get through the lineup here, we got Geno, who... Geno Smith, man. I mean, the Chargers defense...
I have to play him a few leagues this week, so I'm hoping he bounces back.
I think the Chargers defense is actually really fucking good. But it was rough for our boy Geno here. Saquon, Bijan, we've got Saquon and Bijan at the top. Obviously, we talked about this, and Gibbs, hell of a start there. Terry McLaurin, Davante Adams, Tyquan Thornton. We've got Sam Laporta. We've got Najee. We've got Cortland Sutton, Jacoby Myers, and Aaron Rodgers. On the flip side, Josh Allen, you know, had a good game, but just wasn't a crazy blow up. We had Amari and Hampton. I think here's the thing, right, for Hillbillies. Hampton and Travion Henderson in the lineup, like, it sounded good in theory, but it's not.
Yeah,
they're getting no work. Waddle, Shakir, Palmer. We have Jake Ferguson.
Those guys didn't catch touchdowns. This might be a, like, 95% to 5%.
Right. You see what I'm saying? Quinchon, I will say I like what I saw out of Quinchon. But, man, dude, when you get all these young backs for him, unfortunately, just are not – they're milk carton-like. Harvey also, you know, on the field a decent amount, but Dobbins is taking all the touches. Trey Harris, dude, look at this projection from Trey Harris, 1.43.
Yeah, there's definitely some guys on his bench I would much rather play, like
Dylan
Samson.
Are you kidding me? 100%.
I'd play Magnani. I'd play Gainwell. I'd play Theo Johnson. Like, I'd play a couple of these guys over
I'll be honest, there's no way I'm playing both Trey Harris and Mason Taylor ahead of Dylan Sampson. No chance. So I think definitely Hillbillies, if you're out there hearing this, get Dylan Sampson in the lineup. Mike might not tell you to play him, but we will. All right. Aside from that, though, buddy, there's the matchups. Some tight, contested, projected games at the moment, but some that are already a little more lopsided looking. Listen, I think, you know, after week three, week three going into week four, definitely after week four, but in that time frame, sometimes there's some teams you start having to have some hard conversations about, and that's why it'd be good for us to get off the schneid here and get another one, get us in the 4-2 column, because it might, when you're, I'll say this, Eric, when you're 0-3, even if you have a really well-built team, you have to have some balls to keep going, right? Because it can get tough.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of my teams where I'm 0-2 and I already know it. Like, I just see it that it's not going to work out. I've started selling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll just bring up a quick trade for you real quick that I did. I just kind of want to get your quick thoughts on it. Yeah. I made this trade with Mike.
It was on the trade show. Yeah.
Okay, with the Mahomes and Dart trade?
Yeah, so it's funny. I'm in the league, but that is my worst, for sure worst team. It was a... So this is before I knew how little tight ends mattered, right? I leaned into tight ends. Kittle, Waller, buddy. This team, when I tell you how it imploded, and I didn't have capital, it was one of those where you're like, all right, we're going to get ugly. So I'm in the cellar with you. I don't think your team's quite as bad as mine, but you're in a position where you're rebuilding, I think, now, right? And
yeah.
The one what I said about it was, it feels like Mahomes is weird. Mahomes' market is so different than what his startup price is. So
yeah,
to me, I was like, it feels like you should be able to get more from Mahomes. However, I think the reality is you don't really get more from Mahomes a lot of times. And so to me now, getting 27 pick, which the trade was, you got Jackson Dart and a 27 first, sending Mike Mahomes, and I believe it was a 26 second.
Yeah, and I could care less about 2026 picks, like, after the first round. I think they're dog shit, so I don't care.
Yeah, no, I think it was actually funny because I was saying how, like, on a value standpoint, it felt like the second was unnecessary. But at the same time, I think the biggest play is for you getting leverage in the 27 class. My biggest, thing was, okay, hey, there's still some people that have 27 picks out there. You kind of signal blood in the water, meaning, hey, I'm willing to sell players and take on picks. And if you can get yourself some leverage in that 27 class, I think a lot of good things can come from that. And, you know, when Dart gets on the field, now you have a decision to make. Hey, am I trying to find a way to sell him now, or do I wait and see what he can project and keep on my team? So I think it felt like an easy trade if I'm on the Mike side. Very easy getting it. But sometimes
he was a contender.
Yeah. But it's like, sometimes, honestly, in rebuilding, I think if a trade that I maybe feel like I'm taking 90 cents on the dollar is actually way better than that because of what it gives me in flexibility and what I need to do with my roster. I don't really have the luxury to sit here and afford Mahomes anyway. So I think it was a trade that worked out well for both sides. To me, when I look at it on paper and then I'm starting to understand the dynamics, at first glance, I'm like, oh man, this feels like too easy for Mike. And then you start looking at the situation and being honest about it, you're like, you know what? This is probably going to work out really well for both sides, frankly.
Yeah, I don't see my team winning anytime soon with Mahomes on it, so might as well sell him for a quarterback that I think has a lot of upside in that offense. Like you just pointed out, he's got Malik Nabers. You just talked him up as your number one wide receiver in Dynasty, so I'm getting his quarterback. You know, that offense has been pushing the ball down the field, been aggressive with that. He's a runner, too, so that's nice. And then I get a 2027 first, and I'm sure it's probably going to be a later 2027 first, but guess what? Still going to get a fucking stud.
And the other thing, too, about it is building leverage in that 27 class. This is how it worked for me with 23 picks, where if I have one team where I had almost all these picks in 23. Actually, one team I had every single pick in 23. Another team I had 9 of 12. The difference in the two leagues that I did, almost an experiment just to see. The team which I drafted all the picks and the players from, that team fucking didn't do anything different. It just basically was a rinse and repeat because you're going to miss a bunch of picks. The one thing is, though, if you build leverage, whether you draft them or not, they're going to be high-valued players when you get them on your roster or when you trade the pick. And I think building leverage in a class that has hype like that allows you to move picks so much. What you're going to be able to do with 2 or 3 or 4 27 first, you can go get any asset you want, right? So to me, that's where the big thing is if you can build leverage in a class with a bunch of hype, dude, you have dealer's choice kind of. Like you can kind of go do what you want with it.
Yep. Yeah, so that's the whole plan, and I'm doing all these trades now I'm asking for 2027 picks, third, seconds, first. I'm just gonna load up on all those picks, man. I'm just doing it now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to get more 27 first. Sometimes I've found that people are basically not moving off of them. So when you can acquire them for reasonable prices, I think it's probably in your favor and benefit to do that.
Even then, I'll still load up on the seconds and thirds. Like, just look at this year's class that we did. Like, there were some good people in the second and the third and even the fourth round still that were, you know, you got your Ollie Gordons was falling to the fucking round four. A couple years ago, Braylon Allen fell to round four. Like,
there's Harold Bannon was round three.
Yeah. I mean, there's still some really, really good guys. And that 2027 class is just building up to be a fucking monster.
And think about this, too. 26 projects to be not very talented, right? I think is the nature around it.
Yeah.
I'm still in the business of acquiring 26 first for cheap.
I think 2026 first I like, but after that, seconds, thirds, they're just going to be dog shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the pick, but again, these are at discounts. Now, the 27 class, this is where the 27 class, because it's really good and valuable as far as a bunch of really talented players, I think even getting more picks in the second and the third are just, the deeper the class is, the better those picks are at least going to project. Now, you don't know what you're necessarily going to hit, but you also can probably have more tradability with even seconds and thirds in that class. So with you on that segment, if for you guys out there, you know, we still have our 27 first. It's going to take a big offer for us to move off of it, frankly. But when your team is pushed up against the wall with nowhere to go, you know where to find us, right here at The Grind. Eric, before we hop out of here, anything you got before we do?
No, man. I think I've been enjoying doing this every week with you, so this has been a lot of fun. And yeah, just check out all our stuff that we got going on. My podcast feed's popping off. YouTube's popping off, going crazy. You just came out with your old series that came back. I can't think of the
Money
name
Moves,
of that.
Yep.
Money Moves, yep. There we go. That just came back.
Yeah.
You and Mike are doing 4D chess again on the podcast feed. You know, Koopa's doing stuff.
Yeah, speaking of The Grind, we got Grinding the Edge. I mean, dude.
Dan with the pipeline, fancy pipeline.
Yeah, man. It's by the way, you're listening to this, you're already on the podcast feed, but I'm excited about the podcast feed, trying to have some more exclusive content there and putting out as much content as we do. I think you'll find other places that do put out a lot of content. But I do think as far as putting out volume of content and putting out high quality volume of content, I personally believe we're unmatched in the space. But we're a diamond in the rough still. We're still looking to, you know, grow and show. Pause, but grow and show people what we got going on. So we appreciate everybody tapping in. I'm enjoying doing this series with you too here Saturday nights. Kind of get to watch some college football, get the girls down, talk about these teams, and in particular this one in The Grind. I'll say it hasn't started exactly like in a perfect way that we were hoping, but I still believe with Rashi coming off suspension and you know, a slower performance early from AJ Brown, I think there's a lot of promise still on this team. So looking forward to seeing what week three brings, and we will be back here same time, same place, continuing to give you the access to The Grind. We appreciate you guys being in the league and listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week. We're out of this thing. Peace.
That's it.